Welcome to the Sutlifian Report, the place where the news is never hidden and the truth always wins. Today we're going to talk about parents waking up and fighting back against the communist rewriting of curriculum and much worse in schools across America today. I usually don't address much worse, but there are much worse things that have to be talked about this week. First, let's go to the reading of God's Word for the day. Today, we're starting with 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. J. Vernon McGee says of the lack of charity, which, you know, like charity means love, all right, is sounding like brass or a tinkling cymbal. So this is what he put it. I like J. Vernon McGee's way he puts things. He wrote, I am nothing in this world but a noisy bell. And this is the act of the emotions of the heart here. Language without love is like noise without melody, is the way Dr. Scroggie put it, or as McGee puts it, chatter without charity. Sound without soul, you can sing like a seraph, and without love, it is nothing but the hiss of hell. Love is what gives meaning in depth and reality and makes it meaningful. Think about that. Now, the truth is, I once knew an incredible violinist. Her form was perfect. Her tone was perfect. I mean, she could compete and get the highest positions in orchestras. And you know, I still remember going and listening to her. And there was a difference between her and another violinist. And I loved them both. I knew them both personally. One of them had this, could feel that music and play that music. And the other one, I don't know why, except for, I mean, I know that both of these people were not believers, but I do know that there was a huge difference. I mean, the one who could feel that music, could understand it, could communicate it. The other one had the form. She had the best ability to put out the tone and everything. But that personal sharing of what she felt, to me, it wasn't there. Now, I say this, I'm a child of a music teacher. So it's something to communicate those kind of things. Making sure my audio is correct. That's, I'm just checking. Okay. Let's think about that. I mean, are we sounding bells, or are we spreading the word of God and truth? Are we a tinkling brass, or are we being the person who is there for love, to be loving? Dear Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to love as never before. Help us to give up all that we might love beyond what we know today. You are the God who does impossible things. So please help me to grow. Help me to reach and share that wondrous love today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, two state boards of education pulled out of the National School Board Association after asking President Biden and the Attorney General to direct the FBI to investigate concerned parents as they would a domestic terrorist. You have to reflect back to those days of Obama and Attorney General Janet Napolitano to remember her description of dangerous terrorists as lovers of liberty. Oh, wait a minute. Would parents be lovers of liberty when they're talking about their children? Absolutely. So who first classified them? What president was it? Oh, that would be Obama. Is Biden much different from Obama? No. In fact, they call him Obama 2.0. So should the parents be surprised? Sadly not. So let me share this article. I found it. I was just like, whoa, when I read this. I could not believe it. That I mean, some things you just have to sit there and go, whoa, I didn't expect to see that. So this article came out 2 days ago. I found it in, of all places, it's called ussanews.com. And I love this article. It says the Missouri School Board Association has decided to officially withdraw from the National School Boards Association effective immediately over the National School Board Association's decision to ask the federal government to criminally investigate concerned parents for domestic terrorism using the Patriot Act. The initial NSBA letter served as the basis for Biden regime's announcement that they would be using the powers of the FBI and the Justice Department to criminally investigate concerned parents who attend the school board meetings to protest anti-white critical race theory and other controversial educational materials and lessons in public schools. The then NSBA issued an apology over the letter after widespread public backlash. No, they're sorry they got caught. It's horrible they got caught. But they did get caught. So now they're sorry. But should you trust them? Well, at least Missouri figured it out. Oh, by the way, Ohio had already pulled out. Yes. So are states pulling out of this National School Board Association? Yes. We have two leading states with wisdom. I want to read the letter that the Missouri School Board Association wrote. I'm impressed. It says, last week, your board of directors, this is again by the Missouri School Board Association, it's dear MSBA members, last week your board of directors met and made the difficult decision to withdraw MSBA's participation in the National School Board Association effective immediately. This decision was not made lightly. The National School Board Association, through its recent actions, such as its letter to the White House, has demonstrated it does not currently align with the Missouri School Board Association's guiding principles of local governance. School boards have always been asked to make tough decisions and to do what is right for the students under their responsibility. These decisions often bring about thoughtful and rigorous discussions, which we believe is crucial to the discernment process. We also believe that no school board member or educator should ever have to endure threats of violence or acts of intimidation against themselves or their families for making these difficult decisions. However, attempting to address that issue with federal intervention should not be the first step in most cases and is antithetical to our longstanding tradition of local control. Further, the use of inflammatory terms in the NSBA letter is not a model for promoting greater civility and respect for the democratic process. On Friday, this is this past Friday, the National School Board Association distributed an apology statement for the letter issued by their interim executive director and president. While that is a step in the right direction, we believe NSBA still has significant work ahead, both implementing and processing and processes and procedures to prevent similar problems in the future, as well as repairing their fractured relationships. Please know that our withdrawal from the NSBA will not have any effect on the Missouri School Board Association programs and services that you rely on. The Missouri School Board Association will continue to offer first-class service to all of their members so that you can continue your support for the mission. Now, this is signed by the Executive Director, Melissa Randall, and I applaud her. My recommendation is that you look up the Missouri School Board Association and send them a congratulatory letter. Send them kudos. Look them up and say thank you. It's time to see people standing up and being bold and saying what's true. I've sometimes failed to grasp how people can just miss these things. I can't always understand how this kind of stuff goes by. You know, I do a lot of reading. Like I said, through this week, I went through and I can't tell you how many different things I've read on things like this. But these stood out. And actually, every one of the stories I'm going to share with you are, like I said, I read countless, which seems like countless news stories. I don't have a cable subscription, cable TV. I don't have that. I read all the news that I'm sharing. I have to go look for the videos, or the videos are sent to me, or the audios are sent to me. And like I said, I do not have a TV to listen to news with. So I personally find that more relaxing. When I pursue truth, it's through research. Whatever I'm sharing with you, I have looked at, I have verified, I have looked, I'm never cease to be amazed at what I'm finding these days. I do want to share more about this FBI thing. Now, this one, I have to say, I love the Washington Free Beacon. They are one of my favorites. I can never say that I get enough of their work. Let me pull this article up. The Washington Free Beacon did an article on the one guy from this National School Board Association that really, really seems to be benefiting. This will surprise you. This came out, I mean, this is where I say the Washington Free Beacon, I love them. They're staying on target. This article was titled, Biden Administration Taps School Board Association Honcho for Post in Wake of Infamous Letter. Okay, would you promote somebody from an organization that got literally almost every parent in America mad? Well, the Biden administration is doing it. And thanks to Chuck Ross, we have this information. He wrote the article for the Washington Free Beacon. This article starts. The Department of Education earlier this month tapped the president of the National School Board Association to serve on a federal board that tracks student progress, the latest indication of the Biden administration's collaboration with a group that compared parents to domestic terrorists. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, on October 13th, appointed National School Board Association President Viola Garcia to the National Assessment Governing Board, which develops the test used to track student achievement across the country. Tests that track student achievement across the country? Let's do some thinking about that. What are they doing? National testing? Something's not too clear there. Because really, most states are state-run. Most tests are state-run. In New York State, there's very little national testing. So I'm really confused as to what this man is going to be doing unless they plan to start forcing more tests upon students. Let's keep going. The National School Board Association apologized for that letter that Garcia wrote on October 2nd. And again, let's get into that. The Garcia's post on the board could raise questions about whether the appointment was linked to advocacy work for the National School Board Association. Emails reported by the Washington Free Beacon show Garcia coordinated with the Biden White House and Department of Education the weeks before releasing the controversial letter. These are troubling times. NSBA has been engaged with the White House and Department of Education on these and other issues related to the pandemic for several weeks now. Garcia's tenure began on October 1st, according to the Department of Education press release. Congress established the National Assessments Governing Board in 1988 to set policy for the National Assessment of Education process, the so-called National Report Card. Yeah, again, there's not enough there to really give a picture because, again, there is no national testing, not in this country. The closest we come to that is around high school age where you see the SAT scores. That's the closest thing you see to a national test, or rather, maybe it would be the PSAT. And again, paying attention to what's going on. Let's keep going on the topic of school boards. Now, let's get this one ready. This is I caught this piece the other day, and I have to say I was shocked when I heard this information. I didn't know what to think. So this next piece I'm going to share is Loudoun County, Virginia. And it's a school board meeting where parents are so angry they can't shut up. They are so angry they feel they must say something. They are so angry. Let me pull this up. I saw this and I could not share it. Let me just, here we go. Trying to find out where I put it. I think it's under parents. Yeah, parents. Okay. So let me pull this up first in the stream, and then I will put it into the, here we go. Oh, that's not it. The joy of trying to do three things at once. Share video file. And this should just blow your mind.
What I'm holding, this bombshell email, I respectfully ask that the board resign. You too, Scott Ziegler. I mean, you guys, you're all busted for lying and orchestrating a cover-up, and you're digging yourselves in deeper and deeper each day that goes by. Do the taxpayers and families of Loudoun a favor and resign today.
There is something ominous in the quoted sum of $36,000 to FOIA emails from the past 6 months that have the word sexual assault in them. What is lurking in that sinister number of 100,000 documents? Your wicked potion of porn and grooming books that came through Ashley Ellis is despicable. It's long past raising the bar. Every last one of you must go. Ziegler, Ellis, every last one of you resign.
We demand the resignation of Scott Ziegler. We demand the resignation of Brenda Sheridan and Atusa Reeser. We have led this board to destroy, you have led this board to destroy our schools, harm our children, and divide our community, and we demand action.
I brought back my sign today that states in big, bold letters, LCPS protects rapists, because that's exactly what this school system has done and what this board has allowed to happen.
Scott, I've seen the May 28th email you sent to the board informing them about the first rape. You lied to us and covered this up. You have a doctorate in education and didn't understand the question? And why did it take two rapes before you finally came to the mic? These cover-ups keep adding up, and the next time we'll do better argument doesn't work. This is now about our kids' safety and real equity and protecting them from you. Brenda, as chair of this nearly $2 billion organization, why aren't you at the mic? You hired this superintendent. You're just as much to blame for the embarrassment and legal liability brought on to this county as he is. Ian, you ran on a platform of more recess. More recess. We have girls getting raped, teachers, subs, bus driver shortages, not to mention books in our schools that would make Masters and Johnsons blush. And you want more recess? I invite you all to take more recess and step down immediately. The dad got suspended jail time, and the rapist went free and raped again. And he did. You're all responsible, and it's time to go.
Thought I'd change this up real quick and do a dialogue instead of a monologue. So your lack of response we'll assume is a yes. I'll start with a few quick questions. Is the school board comprised primarily of members of the Communist Party? I'd take that as a yes, seeing that the board wants to strip freedoms from the citizens, demonize parents who oppose their radical views, and exercise free speech. Second question, does the school board condone rape in the schools? Oh, apparently that's a yes, too, because the board just got busted for trying to cover one up. Does the school board condone pedophilia? Oh, that's another yes. Seeing you support pedophilia books in our schools that you all approved, it's disgusting. Listen, why don't you be good little commies and resign now, please? Those of you know who you are. Get out. It's time for good, honest, hardworking people to step up and corrupt, indifferent ideologues to step down. Step down so teachers like me don't have to come up here to dissociate myself from you or resign their positions for a school system that is led by liars.
One of my closest friends is a victim, and her life has forever been affected by that painful trauma. My question to you is this. Why didn't you make the public aware of these sexual assaults as soon as they happened? Now it's out. You all knew and chose to betray the students and parents by covering it up. You were all elected to be trusted advocates for the safety and well-being of Loudoun County students. This includes knowledge of sexual predators. I demand that all of you who were in office during these sexual assaults resign immediately. including Superintendent Ziegler. Like my friend, these high school students will forever suffer the effects of these crimes, and each one of you are to blame. Resign now.
How stupid do you think parents are? And Scott Ziegler, Dr. Ziegler, you in particular, you sat in front of us, you sat in front of the media, you sat in front of everyone and said you weren't aware of any sexual assaults. You said sexual assaults weren't coming, weren't happening, and you sent an email, a very timely email, referencing the exact thing that you told the world didn't happen. So how stupid do you think we are? You're already in a government capacity telling us that you care more about our children than we do. It's absolutely false. It's ridiculous. If my kids' care was entrusted to you, I would probably be suicidal. You guys are incompetent, you're criminally negligent, and you need to do everyone a favor and resign.
The fact that the taxpayers of the county are paying Scott Ziegler $295,000 a year to cover up sexual assaults in our schools is beyond comprehension. Scott Ziegler should be immediately terminated for this travesty of leadership. Let's go, Brandon!
If you can make a child stay home because they refuse to wear a mask, you can also make a child stay home for raping another student. I don't even feel safe within the walls of my own high school anymore because of this. Ziegler and everyone on the Loudoun County School Board needs to be held accountable. You knew this happened once you reviewed 8040 for passing, yet you lied about it. The only reason you even said anything is because the situation went viral. Your reputation is already tarnished. Do everyone a favor in Loudoun County and resign. Remember, it could be your child next.
I'm the father of a 13-year-old at Brambleton High School, middle school. I do not trust you, Mr. Ziegler. I do not trust you to ensure the education or the safety of my daughter in the school system which you represent and are paid $295,000 a year to lead. I don't care if it's 3 months or 9 months. You're responsible, and you have failed us as parents.
Earlier this year, I was exposed to sexual material by a former LCPS employee. I came to the June 22nd school board meeting to ask for reform to make Loudoun schools safe again. As you may have guessed, I was unable to tell my story. But after hearing the stories of the two sexual assault victims and this school board's reaction to those victims, I'm not sure if you would have listened to my story at all. I speak on behalf of the children of Loudoun County. Sexual harassment and assault should not be ignored by the people in charge of the school system. I ask you to do better, not for yourselves, but for the safety of students in your county. I'm praying that change is coming and that students can have a safe school environment again. Please resign.
You could have supported transgender students and been honest about what happened at Stonebridge, but you thought lying would be easier, and you got caught. And I couldn't help but notice the rules for this meeting, which state there will be no public access to bathrooms or other facilities inside the LCPS administrative offices. I guess you wanted to make absolutely certain that your restrooms were safe. Resign or be removed.
So I want you to think about that. I owe that clip to the thanks of a great organization called the Media Research Center. They do an excellent, excellent job getting the truth out. Again, if you have extra cash flowing around and there's a place that you could donate it, I recommend MRCTV. Media Research Center does excellent work. Now, if you're not familiar with the entire story, there was a boy who went into the girls' bathroom and decided to be sensitive to people's sexuality. So if you decided even though you have male parts, you think you're a girl, you can go and use the girls' bathroom. So they allowed biologically male students to start using the female bathroom. So at the same time, when this is going on, a boy who, quote, claimed he was a girl, went in there wearing a skirt, hiked that skirt up and assaulted a girl. Now, that same boy was kicked out of that particular school in Loudoun County. It gets worse. That particular boy was put into another school. I've heard differing stories about this. And I think that is important to clarify. Some of this story is not 100% verifiable, but here's two stories that I've heard, and they both hold water. This is the thing that bothers me the most. One story is that the boy who did the assault, when he was transferred to another school, that they did not inform the administration there as to why, the real reason why he was kicked out of the other school. That is possible. I'm not saying it isn't. However, the school superintendent was aware of the sexual assault. That's important to understand. Because there was a second assault at the new school where this boy sexually assaulted a young teen girl and did sodomize her, was found guilty of that recently. Yeah. If you're the parent of that child, you are wanting justice, and they're really, you can't get that justice. The only justice you can get is for that board to resign, to retire, to go away. So that's why you heard those parents all upset. They're doing what they believe is right and standing up for their children. Yeah, it's crazy. So let's keep going on. My next piece is in line with this this topic about the letter from the National School Board Association. We're keeping on that theme. And you'll hear that mentioned in this topic. Now, what happened is Representative Andy Biggs asked Attorney General Merrick Garland during a House Judiciary Committee about his inconsistency. Now, you're going to hear this thing with the National School Board Association, which I started the story today, what I should start the news with about today, and how it was connected, and they requested the FBI to investigate parents, again, who are what Janet Napolitano had called dangerous. What did she call dangerous? Lovers of liberty. I will never forget reading that to my father. My father, who was a devout Democrat, would say, "I'm a lover of liberty." He looked confused. How could anyone in America say a lover of liberty is a domestic terrorist? But that is life under Obama. And as they say, Biden is Obama 2.0. I think I'm just going to play this for you. It's shocking. I have to admit, I was surprised hearing this information. It didn't kind of threw me for a loop. But I do love the way that this was done. Let me just pull this back up. I have to get the right clip here. And let's get there so I can pull these down. Playing things on the and we're almost there. There we go. Okay. Pulling things up on two spots is not always easy. All right. So I've got it here and get it ready for the place. So I'm going to play the video and I'll start it on. Come on. Let's try it. And here we go for those listening on.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Garland, Facebook has admitted in a letter to the Arizona Attorney General that it, quote, allows people to share information about how to enter a country illegally or request information about how to be smuggled, close quote. 8 U.S.C. 1324 criminalizes aiding and abetting entry into the U.S. By illegal aliens. Have you sent a letter or issued a memorandum similar to the 10-4-21 memorandum directing departmental resources to be dedicated to investigating the apparent violation of law similar to the one? Have you done that?
I haven't seen the letter or information that you're talking about, but if it was sent to the department, I'll make sure that we look at it.
It has been reported that Mark Zuckerberg also spent over $400 million in a, quote, carefully orchestrated attempt, close quote, to influence the 2020 election. Those efforts have been referred to as a, quote, private takeover of government election operations, close quote. Have you sent a letter or issued a memorandum directing departmental resources be dedicated to investigate these claims?
I don't know what was done in 2020 in the previous administration of the Justice Department.
We're talking about the election of 2020. All of this has come out since then, and you've not.
I don't know. You're totally unaware of that. I'm not aware of what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
So you have not sent a memo, or you're not investigating that either. Last Sunday, more than 300 churches in Virginia aired a video featuring Vice President Harris advocating the election of Terry McAuliffe as governor of Virginia. This appears to violate Section 501c3 of the IRS code, as well as other election laws, and seems to be an orchestrated effort by the VP and McAuliffe to violate the law. Have you sent a letter or issued a memorandum directing departmental resources be dedicated to investigating this apparent violation of law, similar to the letter you issued, the memorandum you issued on October 4th targeting parents who exercise their First Amendment rights at local school boards?
No.
On May 24th, 2021, under oath before a congressional committee, Dr. Anthony Fauci denied the National Institute of Health provided any funding for gain-of-function research, saying, quote, that categorically was not done, close quote. Today, this very day, the NIH issued a statement contradicting that testimony, which suggests that Dr. Fauci may have committed perjury. This is a criminal offense, and I'm left to wonder if you intend to look into that and send a communication such as a letter or a memo similar to the October 4th memo that you issued regarding parents going to school board meetings to investigate Dr. Fauci's potential perjury.
Again, I'll refer to the long-standing departmental norm that we don't comment about investigations pending or unpending. The general point that you're making normally would come with a referral from the relevant committee, but other than the actual point I'm making
is you chose, as a response to a letter from the National School Board Association, and as you said earlier today, newspaper accounts, to issue a memorandum to organize task force and investigate and put a chill on parents' participation before school boards. Now, you say, I didn't mean to provide a chill, but that's exactly what any sentient being would have assumed would happen when you asked the federal government to begin looking into this. Of course parents are going to be nervous now. Of course people will step back. That's the purpose of my questioning. So when we get to these things like Zuckerberg, Facebook, Kamala Harris, we get to and Dr. Fauci's purported perjury. There's no indication. You didn't hold back. You issued a press release. Do you see the distinction? How about this one? Since January 20 of 2021, Border Patrol has encountered more than 1.3 million aliens at the southwest border trying to illegally enter the country. You yourself have acknowledged today that that remains a crime. Have you sent a letter or issued a memorandum to U.S. attorneys directing prosecution of these cases?
No, and the reference of cases comes from the Department of Homeland Security, as I mentioned before.
Look, you managed to issue a memorandum about parents showing up at school boards. Why can't you issue a memorandum regarding the million-plus people who illegally enter the country and encouraging your U.S. attorneys to prosecute those cases? They are there constantly.
The time of the gentleman has expired.
That's what happened. So for those of you who are listening and things went quiet, it is because BTR had a problem with the mic, and I apologize for that. I do see that you wanted to, the person came back in, so let me – hi. Hi.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you. You wanted to
so
– yes.
Yes, so
I
BTR
some problems
is acting
with BTR.
Up again, huh?
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm going to play your – see if I can play your sound into the mic because you know that it's not working well for the stream. So let's go ahead. What did you want to do with Mon- – you're from Montana, you said?
Yeah.
All right, so let me just try and boost it up. And I don't know how well it can be heard on the stream, so just let's try this. All right, so what is
Wait,
happening
okay.
in Montana?
Good, all right. Bella, I wanted to know, I think you have Missouri and another state that disassociated themselves from the National School Board, so I wanted to find out. What gave the representatives there? I'm presuming that it's the state legislatures which are pulling out. What gave the representatives there the balls to do it?
I would say it's their intelligence. what the actual NSBA did would violate the code of ethics as well. So that is the number one reason why they pulled out. I read their statement a little earlier. And that's basically what they are saying, forcing school
okay.
boards to violate their code of conduct and code of ethics.
Who's forcing them to violate that?
The National School Board Association by bringing in the federal government to investigate parents.
Very good, very good. So it seems as though inadvertently, the people had power to do something about this particular crisis. Good.
And, yes, pulling out is the biggest thing. Now, can we get our local school boards to do this? That's what I would think would be interesting. Can you pressure the local school boards to put that pressure on your state school board? I live in Libland, New York. They would be happy with investigating parents and treating them like terrorists.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think all across the land they would do that, especially now in our woke society. Yeah, I think what would have to happen is that I don't think the school board members of any state would resign. I think probably they're all about as corrupt as the as Congress itself. What might have to happen is there might have to be some sort of manipulation and navigation from the parents themselves, perhaps to investigate some other type of rule that the school board violated, so that that would, and by exposing that particular violation, would have to force their respective states to pull out. That would be nice, but it would probably take a lot of effort and time.
I can only hope that some of this insanity gets straightened out by parents realizing that they too are lovers of liberty in respect to having the rights to control their kids' education, the rights to control much of that. And yet that National School Board statement is a revealing statement. It reveals that the government, I mean, this is what it really does. It says the government has the right over everything. All right, not the parent. And that, to me, is the number one reason. From what I read in the Missouri School Board statement, I'm going to tell you where to find that. That would probably be the best thing I can do to tell you. I mean, and I would love for you to share this with as many people in Montana and whatever state others are listening to. You can go to a site called ussanews.com, and it's – I'm going to give you the whole website, News1/2021.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to try and post it into the chat room if you're there, and I will
also,
post it.
Also,
into...
tell me, because I all right, because I won't be able to go into the chat. But if you just you can walk me through the URL, I'll take a look at it, and I go to a show
okay.
on Saturdays, and I'll tell them about it, and they'll spread it.
So I'm going to put this in not only your chat room, I'm going to put it in the stream as well, because this, I have to say, I was shocked when I was excited. I mean, here I am a retired teacher. I taught high school for 20 years, and this excites me to see that parents are getting excited, I mean, upset and active about their child's education. To me, that is powerful. So you can go to, let me just read this again, ussanews.com/news1/2021/10/26/Missouri, and all these words have hyphens between them, Missouri School Boards Association withdraws from NSBA over domestic terrorist letter. I read the letter out loud.
Good.
It was impressive. And I would say go
good.
There. The letter is powerful. It is great. And that, to me, is probably the most important thing that needs to be shared.
I will. I'm going to take a look at that. And like I said, I'm going to share it with my buddies on Saturday. That's the show I usually go to on Saturdays. And since the host of the show has 21,000 Twitter followers, if he tweets that out, then we will spread this around.
Thank you. Thank you. The goal is to get the truth out. That's what I do. I'm doing my first big Christian men's conference on November 6th. I think they have Iron Sharpens Iron conferences out there. Hopefully one of these days, you know, if you're ever looking for a public speaker on getting the truth out, I'm working on getting an organization together called Stand Up for Churches. I talked about that last week. And let me go into that again real quick, because I think, I mean, I'm guessing, are you a Christian?
Hell no, but I do practice Christian values.
Okay. So here's the thing I would love to see, and I think you would agree with it. All right. So one of the things that, I mean, if you've read the Constitution, which we don't have enough people doing today, in the Constitution, mm-hmm. it refers to God. It tells us over and over again, we are the people. We must stand up and we must do things. And I think, you know, in the churches today, because of 501c3, are afraid to take part and talk about what God says and about politics. They're afraid. So they need to look at and see where God is in the Constitution. They need to look at those rights that the Constitution says are given to them by God that are guaranteed. I mean, again, given by God, but guaranteed by the Constitution, such as freedom of speech, freedom of religion, due process. I can go on and on. And then we also need to look at things like the Soviet Marxist plan that for the United States that were – and Yuri Brezhnev gave that in an interview in the 1980s, who told us all of those plans. And if we look at today, it's shocking because you can find this information, and it's there. And I think everybody actually needs to watch that information. I'm also proposing in this organization, it's a loose organization, something that somebody could actually put together in their own local school or local – you could put it as your own local get-together. You don't have to have a church or anything. A series of videos you could do. You don't have to do much talking, just lead a discussion. You could do a video on CRT. I have a video that you could watch on that. It's pretty and it's really powerful because in this, it refers directly to New York State, and we're reading the New York State guidelines, which, believe it or not, I just got the big state union paper, and in it says we don't have CRT in New York State, but if you listen to what we did on this show on CRT, we were reading the state standards for teaching this stuff, so they can say the term critical race theory isn't there, but yes, it is. Yes, it is. They changed the terminology a little bit and tweak it so they can claim it's not there, and that's what they're doing across the country, but it is very real. So again, I would say look up in your local state, and you're talking about Montana, go to your state education site, and I would type in the words diversity, equity, and inclusion. And you want those three in there, and you should be able to find what's called state standards, that's their education standards that tell the teachers what they have to teach. If you find any state standards with those words in them, They are required to teach that curriculum. They don't have a choice, and that's something to think about. And then I say, let's talk about what's fact and fiction, what's science, what's imagination. You can do that with COVID. You can talk about the case studies with Sweden, and what does it mean to stand up? And that's what it comes down to. And I think that's one of the things we need to do as Christians, as American citizens. And unfortunately, we live in a society where they're used to sitting down and not being active. And that, to me, is one of my largest concerns today. So I'm hoping more people waking up and doing what's right.
Well, people are waking up, apparently, which is good. School board, this association is one example. People, the cops leaving their jobs is another example. I don't like that example. They should stay on the job, but I understand why they do it. Also, I'm organizing a debate between conservatives and liberals. I already have 3 conservatives who have volunteered and 3 liberals. And when I finally get everything together, do the logistics, then I'll have the debate. So people are waking up and they are taking some sort of action, although it will be hard because the government will clamp down on resistors and the more vocal and the more active activists. But people should stand up. Noncompliance in and of itself, though, will not win the day. But people should stand up. Perhaps, maybe Serendipity could come in and make us the winners. But I'm a practice Christian values. I'm an atheist, agnostic, actually. But as long as the Christians practice morality and atheists practice morality, then it's one good, huge tent that those two groups can gather under. So I'll let you get back to your show. Thanks for the intro. I'll take a look at it.
Thank you.
And I'll share it with, sure. Take it easy now.
Thank you for coming. Glad to have you. God bless.
All
right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. The truth is that we live in a society where truth is not valued. It is not concerned, and I have a lot of concerns about that. What can we do to get the truth out? I get concerned when I see this. What can we do? What can we do to fight and get in? I don't know. What can we do to fight to keep in? I don't know. And this is the scary, scary stuff. I'm fighting with BTR right now, so if we have a little bit of problem there, please, if you see something, please make a comment there. The joy of BTR, it's fighting me. So I'm staying with the stream, and we'll keep going. I hope you could hear that on the stream. I haven't tested this before, having a guest on BTR. We'll see how this works out. I have been following a lot of news this week. And again, staying on this topic, if you listen to the Attorney General piece that I just played a little while ago, he questioned the Attorney Representative Andy Biggs, questioned Attorney General Merrick, and he asked him, okay, so Fauci lied. Are you investigating him? And I want you to think about that. We're going to go back to that kind of concept. What if Fauci lied and you were not going to investigate him? So what I found fascinating was Tucker Carlson did an incredible piece on this. And I'm laughing because, he went against it because finally the liberals are upset that Fauci has been lying to them. You know, it only took, a whole year to figure it out by the liberals, but they're not upset that he lied to them about COVID-19. They're not upset that he lied to them about the vaccinations. They're not upset that he lied to them about, the reason for using masks or that you should use 2 masks or that you should use 3 masks or more, which, no matter how you think about it, that is hilarious. So, I saw him at one video where he was wearing three or four masks. And I just sat there laughing. But again, the liberals are not upset about those lies. Let's talk about what they're upset about. They are upset. They are upset that that Fauci is involved in the killing of puppies. Oh, yes. Fauci is involved in killing puppies. Okay. I'm all for them being upset about that. I'm all for them getting that truth out that, you know, the puppy should not be killed. But, you know, it saddens me that they didn't see the writing on the wall. You know, it does. And I'm just looking for my audio track of this before I can get into it, unfortunately. And we have to figure out what happened. Oh, joy of joys. It was Fauci on, I think it was Tucker on Fauci, and it's disappeared. And let's see here. And what happened to it? Let's see. Oh, joy of joys. Okay, let's see if I can. Let's see what happened here. This is the joy of doing things on two different forums and fighting to get things to work right. So I am going to play the stream. I'm going to share this video. And if I have to, I will come in and add it to I know I added this. I went through and I watched it add. But for some reason, it did not add to that. So hold on just a second. I'm going to pause on this for a second with the stream. So hold on a minute. And I'm going to turn on the – I had the site muted, so let me move the mic here. And I am going to change where the sound comes out here so I can get this out on the – out on things. So here we go. Let's try this. Sometimes, you know, you have to try more than one way to do things. Okay.
This research is funded by something about this $375,000 grant. Wow. The quarter is not profit. The money went to, quote, drugging beagles, locking their heads in mesh cages filled with hungry sandflies that the insects could eat them alive. That's disgusting. The people who funded it should be submitted to that. Let's see how they like it. By the way, the Washington Post, they defended it. The man, a columnist there, they didn't know that. Literally anything from his blog team. So he wrote a straight-faced piece saying, complaining about this. He'll defend anything. Kevin Guillermo was here. This is so offensive that it's hard even to talk about it on TV. But I want to leave open the possibility that maybe there's some reason that they had to torture dogs to death. Give us your view.
There's no reason for the strength of fish.
Oh, joy of joys.
You know, the last time I was on here with you, I said that NIH Director Francis Collins needs to go.
My sense from reading a lot about this is that many of these torture sets are torturing animals who can't love us, they can't help themselves. This is driven by funding. So there's money available, so the experiment takes place, but it doesn't necessarily help science or any people. It's just
that's what we know, and they spend about $19 billion of it every year on animal experiments. We can find cures and treatments to human beings. And if you look at their other laboratories, right inside NIH's laboratory in Maryland, experimenter Elizabeth Murray, as we exposed last year, brain damages monkeys and then tries to frighten them in tiny cages with plastic snakes and spiders. This kind of experimentation goes on all the time. If you look at the Primate Center at University of Washington, they're full-body irradiating monkeys, destroying their immune system completely. And we're all paying for this. There's no reason to do it. It needs to stop.
I feel sick just hearing these stories. Why would anybody, you see people reflexively defend this stuff. Oh, it's science. It's cruelty. It's not science. But why would anyone defend this?
Defending the status quo seems to be the default position of some people, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
That's not how we progress as a society. And we have constituency is not the animal experimenters. NIH's constituency is American public.
Defending the status quo seems to be the default position for a lot of people. Boy, I don't think I could have put it better than that. Thank you for saying that. That's exactly right. Happy year now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, some of these things, when you start to hear them, and you'll hear the insanity in some of these things, it's just, some of it's just overwhelming.
I marvel that this insanity is going on. I marvel that people do not wake up. And here we have probably one of the first times we have seen PETA. Oops, hold on a second. I marvel that that PETA is actually taking what we would call today a conservative stand. It's standing for the right things. Now, we've seen PETA be guilty of some things that may put them closer to the concept of domestic terrorism, but here they are what we would say exactly right. I can't stand behind anything Fauci did, especially when he's attacking and killing defenseless dogs. The descriptions of these experiments are vulgar. They're beyond any sane need or usage of what's supposed to be going on with experiments with animals. And it's just nothing but cruelty. So, again, this is what liberals are upset about. Will they be upset enough to remove him? I mean, that would be, they'd have to be calling their friends in D.C. and saying, why don't you remove him? Look at what he's funded. He's funded animal cruelty. Okay. Will Biden remove him? Well, it depends on his handlers, I guess. But he doesn't seem to make a move without consulting with others. Some of these things, you just sit there, oh, how can somebody not, you would think people would do something. These are things that bother me. Why aren't things being done? Now, I have to say I like Robert Spencer's work, and he pointed out something this week that I can't let go. And I love Robert Spencer. Like I said, Robert Spencer is one of these great researchers, great authors, great writers. He's the head of Jihad Watch. And if you ever get a chance and you have extra cash to support his work, please do. I definitely think that his work is incredibly valuable. He wrote an article this week, which I think everyone who has one of these Amazon Echoes or Dots in their houses really, really need to pay attention to. The article was titled, "The Telescreens in Your Home Are Watching Your Every Move." And I'm going to play the piece that his article talks about. Again, this came out in PJ Media. It's posted October 21st, but let me read this to you before I play the audio. It's shocking. It is mind-numbing. Okay. A woman who uses app TikTok handle, my.data, not yours, has posted a video detailing the truly shocking extent of Amazon's surveillance of her daily life. She requested the data Amazon has on me, explaining I have two dots and one echo. Between them, the devices have collected an astonishing amount of data. She goes through the folders Amazon Center and says one of one audio folder, There are 3,534 short audio clips in this file alone, she says. Scary. Yeah. The problem isn't that any of the audio clips contain some kind of compromising information. What they contain is trivial. She notes one of them. This is one of me turning the lights on. However, she continues, I then clicked on. Turns out they had a full list of my contacts and from my phone. And I never remember, you know, thinking that. Also, the very last thing, I didn't know that they had, she says, I could have assumed that they had, but I don't love that they have, which is my location, she said. I'm not totally comfortable with everything they have. She shouldn't be. In 1984, again, this is Robert Spencer who wrote this, the citizens of the totalitarian dystopia, Oceania, are required to have a telescreen in their homes and can never shut it off. Not only does it blare the regime's lies and agitprop at them 24 hours a day, but it can and does listen in on them without anyone ever knowing exactly what they're being listened to, when they're being listened to. The hapless peoples of Oceania had no other choice but to allow the surveillance, or, well, would be aghast to see modern-day Americans not only willingly inviting surveillance of their daily activities, but happily paying for the devices that enable it. Yes, I have friends with these things, and dated a wonderful young lady who had one of these things, and that I explained to her, they're listening. They're listening. The question is, what are they listening to? Yeah. Many of the viewers of the video, however, found it difficult to see why it would be so scary that Amazon would have thousands of recordings of people turning on the light bulbs and asking Alexa to play some Tony Bennett. According to New York Post, one commentator thought the TikTok was making a mountain out of a molehill. It's scary that people with Echo Dots and Alexa, et cetera, don't know that Amazon records you and keeps the recordings. Really? That they don't know they're keeping recordings? Would anybody expect that? Oh, I wouldn't. Another ad, can someone explain to me why this is scary? I'm not interesting enough to care if they have my contacts or audio. Sure, the telescreen operators in 1984 had no doubt collected oceans of utterly trivial and uninteresting data as well. Then it was someone else's job to wade through it, all in order to discover who may have dared to utter an anti-regime sentiment. Once the mechanism for surveillance is in place, what is there to prevent it from being used for unscrupulous and for nefarious purposes? Now, I'm going to hook this up, and let me see. I have had problems with BTR, so I have to pay real close attention to what happened to this. I believe I have that. So hold, I have it with BTR, and I know where it is in the stream. So hold on just a second. This is another mind number. Some things you just sit there and go, why? Well, I mean, this one, again, it was done for TikTok, but it's not even a minute long, but I'll tell you, it's pretty powerful.
Requested all of the data that Amazon has on me, and here's what I found. So for reference, I have two dots and one echo. We also use smart bulbs. So when I downloaded the zip file, these are all of the folders I came with. I decided to click on the audio one, and this is what I have. These are all short voice clips, which is so scary, and this one is of me turning on a light. There are 3,534 short audio clips in this file alone. I then clicked on contacts, and it turns out they have a full list of my contacts from my phone, and I never remember thinking that. The very last thing that I didn't know that they had, I could have assumed that they had, but I don't love that they have, is my location. If you open up this CSV here, it'll tell you exactly where your Alexa is located, right down to the lat long. So to answer your question, I'm not totally comfortable with everything they have. Like, in Fossil More.
Some of these things, you sit there and go, why? I sit there and get kind of amazed that this is out there and people didn't know it. They didn't expect this information to be used like this. all I can say is some of this stuff is kind of mind-numbing. And, again, people like me have been worrying about it for ever since Echoes and Dots and things like this have been out. I have seen it as the fulfillment of the 1984. I see it as a stepping stone towards that direction of the Antichrist and controlling even your personal life. I don't see it as the Antichrist, but I do see it as a stepping stone. Paying attention to this stuff, again, I pay attention because I'm concerned. So here's another thing I wanted to share. And, I'm avidly listening to a lot of news, a lot of things. And one of those things that really bothers me that's out there, which I'm going to share with you, this piece should bother you. And I want you to think about why it should bother you. This is by Amy Horowitz. Now, Amy Horowitz had earlier gone out this month and revealed something similar on liberal American campuses. His last visit to University of California at Berkeley was horrifying in his video. It's edited. It captures him offering to take money from college students to empower the Taliban to attack people on American soil. Now, you would think that if you were an American, you're living on American soil, you wouldn't want to pay people to attack you. Apparently, the liberals are willing to pay people to attack Americans. Again, this is shocking, abhorrently shocking material. If this doesn't play right, you can find them on YouTube and take a look at this, but I'm going to pull this up, and it is, like I said, shocking. And let's pull this up for BTR.
We're raising money for the Taliban. Raising money for the Taliban here. Get your Taliban here. I'm Amy Horowitz, and I'm here at the University of California at Berkeley. There is no way I could raise money for the Taliban, right? I'm trying to raise money for the Taliban. We're trying to raise money for the Taliban. Tax deductible? I mean, if you were money in Afghanistan, that's probably less helpful to you guys. We're Taliban 2.0. We're kinder, gentler. Not really, but okay. You know, it's the way we roll. We're trying to raise money for the Taliban. We want to be able to train our fighters to fight back against American interests. There's a lot of weapons that were left there. We need money to train them how to use it against American forces, train them how to use weapons again, all the weapons that the U.S. left. We want to train our fighters to strike back against American interests around the world and in the homeland. Before America got there, we used it as a base to strike against America. We want to do that again.
Oh, interesting.
We got to fight back.
I know.
You know, and America's destroying the world, and we want to secure it for a strike against the American homeland. So we want to be able to create a bulwark against America in Afghanistan to fund and help its enemies around the world strike back against American interests, both abroad and in the homeland.
Okay, that sounds great.
I don't even know much about American imperialism.
Oh, yeah.
So you know how damaging the U.S. is.
Definitely. I appreciate what you're doing here.
Create a safe haven for America's enemies. As a safe haven for people who want to strike against American interests around the world. We want to strike the U.S., both abroad and in the homeland, to teach them a lesson. Life means nothing to them.
Yeah.
And America needs to be brought to heel.
Very true. What you're talking about is really important, and I agree with you fully.
And it's time to make them feel the pain. You know what I'm saying?
I would work for you.
That is really generous. They need to finally pay the price, and we want to exact that toll. Basically, we want to create a safe space for enemies of the United States. You know what I'm saying? 9/11 was a lesson, but they didn't learn their lesson from 9/11. We want to do that again like we did it in 2001.
$5?
Five?
Okay, that would be great.
Five? Yeah.
Five is great. If you could do that, it'd be great.
Sure, I'll
do that. Yeah, five.
Like 10?
I don't know, maybe $10?
$10?
$15?
Maybe like
$15? $50? $50? Oh, dude. Come over here, buddy. Come over here, my brother. Do you know how many people we can train? How many Taliban fighters we can train on that?
Donation-wise?
Yeah, if you could.
you know?
$50, you know, just don't.
That
I'm
is,
a student.
That is really generous. That's a lot of beer money.
No, I mean, I'm not worried about that. It's more of just, you know, what I can give, obviously.
Oh, you're a prince. you're a prince. Thank you.
But.
Bless you, man. Take care, buddy. Make the Taliban great again. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. You too. I'm back. Raising money for the Taliban is no bueno. Raising money for me is very bueno. So if you want to see more of these videos, feel free to go to AmiHorowitz.com and donate.
Now, if you're listening on BTR, I'm waiting for stream to catch up because for some reason I had a disruption in the stream and the video wasn't playing. So I'm waiting for that to catch up. It's got about another minute to go. I've been paying attention to this kind of stuff throughout America. And, you know, University of California in Berkeley is one of those places where if you are anything but Jewish, I mean, they will encourage anti-Semitism there. I have a few friends that write about this particular school a lot. Over the past few years, it has entered into engagements with a school, a college in Palestine. It's not a place not to be trusted. It is a school that has no problem with being anti-Semitic. I do not have anything nice to say about this school. I wish I did. I don't trust it to educate anyone and to do so with a fair and honest review. So these are things to think about. Would you send your kid to a school that would do some of these things? Would you send your kid to a school that would teach some of these things or allow some of these things? I'm still waiting for that video to finish. It's almost done. And I'm going to go into a few more things about this. But again, it is shocking, shocking material. All right, so I want to get back into – all right. So what are they teaching in high schools at Berkeley that makes people want to kill their fellow American citizens? That's a question that sadly is easily answered. It's a love of communism and socialism mixed with a love of Islam. That's something to think about. That's what's going on. This is actually happening on university campuses across America, but it's particularly evil at Berkeley. And part of that is because of their hatred of anything that has to do with Christianity and Judaism. They have no problem with being anti-Semitic. They have no problem with the boycott and divestment. They have no problem with that. Some of these things just, you know, they should upset you. And, you know, I wish we could change some of these things. This is where I think people have to start standing up and saying, no, no, no. One organization, one business actually did try to stand up and say, no, no, no. The problem is that it was located in California. Oh, so what am I talking about? I'm talking about the In-N-Out Burger organization. It looks like they have a sign and a look similar to that of McDonald's. And, you know, Epic Times captured this perfectly. This is an article written by Jack. Now I'm going to have problems getting into this article. That's a bummer. All right. And I had access to it earlier today, and now I do not. Great. So I'm going to suggest, if you can, please go to it said I had access to it earlier today, and now I don't. Bummer. Please go to epictimes.com, and you can read about the In-N-Out Burger that has said no. They will not look at people's status. They will not look at their vaccination status. So In-N-Out Burger has had their businesses being closed by health officials. Not that they have any health care violations or health code violations. No, it's that they aren't asking people for their vaccination status, which, again, is a violation of your HIPAA rights, people. Californians, you do have HIPAA rights. You still are part of this country. but you apparently are not smart enough to do something about that, that people think they have a right. And I'm saying that, too, about you idiots in New York City who are not fighting this. I live in New York State. We are not that stupid at the rest of the state, but New York City is like a foreign land. I wish there were, you know, the governor was not catching things and doing things wrong, but again, unconstitutionality is the place when people go there. In the United States, we have a right to fight back. We have a right to nonviolent protests and things like that. They are in there. That's part of what's allowed to us. All right. In fact, we're encouraged to stand up against dictators by the founding fathers. Now, if we don't do that, we get what we deserve, they would tell us. Stand up, people. Stop sitting down and watching life pass you by. Stand up. It's frustrating to know that people are not doing a thing. They're not paying attention. It is frustrating. Next, I have an article from Canada. An article from Canada where a pastor was told he must align his sermon to what the government says. I know I caught this, and I'm thinking, okay, can you imagine your local pastor being told, you must preach on this, you must say this to your people? Well, that's actually happening in Canada. MRCTV again, people. MRCTV put an article out on this by Pete Gardner Goldsmith. And please do call and thank him. I love this article. He wrote, MRCTV readers and viewers likely are familiar with the courageous activities of Canadian pastor Artur Pawlowski. He's the guy who first turned Alberta cops out of his church when they invaded with COVID crackdown papers during his Passover sermon in April. And who, you know, this is the guy who's calling them Nazis and kicking them out. Remember that? Now a Canadian judge is telling the pastor and his brother David and the owner of Whistle Stop Cafe in near Alberta that they must push on people in the congregation and patrons the grand COVID claims that the judge and the government command. In a completely reliable and obviously unbiased Canadian broadcasting company, of course they're taxpayer-funded, government TV, a piece slathered with the title Anti-Mask Activist Ordered by a Calgary Judge to Preach Science Too. Really? Really? Okay, let's talk science. How many people have had adverse reactions? How can you name someone you know who hasn't had an adverse reaction? Yeah. Think about that. Well, I mean, there's so many adverse reactions, at least in this country, that when I talk to people now, they all seem to know someone who's had something severe happen to them, who's got the jab. Now, that's something to think about. So can you imagine being told to back up the government, ordered by a court to do that? That, to me, is mind-numbing. And that's happening just across the border, people. In Canada, this country we used to consider our friend and everything, and socialism is so ruling there. Communist socialism is so in charge over there that not only have they closed a lot of churches, they're now deciding that they have the power to tell the pastors what to preach. Well, if the pastors don't stand up and say no, yeah, this is where things get scary. It is truly scary. The story comes from Austria. Islam is being presented to children through rose-colored glasses, according to Expressen's review of Austria's school social studies textbooks on the topic. Now, I'm going to tell people where you can find this article. It's an outstanding article. You can go to Express at Experton, Kirsten, and I'm just going to put the copy and paste this into the chat room for YouTube. And if you want to go look at YouTube, you can find this article. It'll be in the stuff here. All right. So this article I found as incredible. So let me talk about this.
it's scary. It's scary when you start to look at textbooks being perverted. But I've done that. I've written on that. And when they pervert, what I mean by pervert, they change and exchange truth for a lie or deceit. They take a partial truth or they omit things so you can't know the facts. Problematic. And that is what we call the teaching and training of children through propaganda. And that's happening at your local school today. And in Austria, they had experts criticize the one-sided representation of Islam in school books. And this is written by editorial staff for Express in Austria. As part of the Islam studies, scientists from different fields have now analyzed Austrian textbooks with regard to their representation of different religious groups. Their conclusion, while Islam and history are depicted through rose-tinted glasses, Christianity and its legacy are described in a rather derogatory way with some negative words. Originally, we wanted to know how Islam is represented in our school books, but we quickly expanded the topics to include Christianity, gender, family, and other things, explains Eleanor Wittdoring from CSPI Austria to the Express. According to the analysis, there are blatant differences in the presentation of individual religious groups, according to which Islam tends to be presented positively, while Christianity, on the other hand, tends to be presented negatively in Christian's current school books. These representations run through all subjects such as German, geography, or history. In this context, the development of the content of school books in the past decades is very interesting. While around 30 years ago, a lot of running text and factual, objective presentation of history were common, today we find books with a lot of pictures, mental text, objectivity, and objectivity are becoming more and more common, replaced by opinion-forming propaganda, said the Islam expert. You're catching this? The expert? Specifically, experts criticize, for example, the representation of historical events. For example, the Crusades are presented very critically in the books. The recapture of Mecca by the Prophet Muhammad, the prophet? I thought we were being objective. You could talk about Muhammad. You don't have to call him the prophet if you are being objective. Are you catching that? Purely a peaceful act. It was not peaceful, people. In addition, the teachings of Islam are sometimes misrepresented. Emphasize the expert. She's also critical of the portrayal of the headscarf. For example, one textbook says many Muslim girls are and women wear a headscarf for religious reasons, which is why they are mobbed by some people. It's not only fundamentally wrong, it's one-sided. The reality is that girls without headscarves are bullied in Austrian schools. Yeah, because in Islam, it teaches that if you don't wear the headscarf, you can be sexually molested. Yes, it's actually in Sharia. It is written there that the headscarf is supposed to designate if you are a Muslim, and it tells Muslim men to not touch the Muslim women. Are you catching it? That's why they wear the headscarves. Because those who don't are, yes, they can be sexually molested according to Sharia. Shocking information. Yes, and that is the misinformation that's not being told. Why would they hide that from you? You got to sit there and ask these questions. What's going on? Why is this information being hidden? Again, some of these things you just have to sit there and go, why? I never cease to be marveled at some of this information. I have another story out of memory.org, and I love memory.org. It's another one of those organizations I recommend that if you have extra cash rolling around that you can donate someplace. I do recommend memory.org. Memory is the Middle East Media Research Institute. It is an organization worthy of receiving your financing. They had an article this week that said pro-ISIS media outlets, Taliban, are extending ties with infidel Russia, Iran to advance its intercepts at expense of Muslims. So it's interesting that ISIS is now, on the outs with Taliban, and they're trying to make the Taliban look bad. Is there going to be infighting? Well, for control, that's unfortunately normal when you have tribalism. They want control. They both want control. They both want to be in charge. And until one of them is in charge, the other one, yeah, wanting to be in charge, it's crazy. Yes. So one group of terrorists wants to be in charge, so they'll insult the other one. And they'll keep doing that. Part of these are truthful things. Is the Taliban working with Russia? Yes. Is the Taliban working with Iran? Yes. Have Sunnis worked with the Shiites before? Yes. So some of this stuff is just not unusual. Yet it's being capitalized. They're looking at what they can do to help run their country, and they're looking at different options. Is this something good for everybody else? Probably not, but it's something that should be watched and concerned about. The big piece I want to talk about before I sign off tonight is by Raymond Ibrahim, which I'm going to have him on again. I like the pieces he does on the persecution of Christianity. And this week he did an incredible lengthy piece. It is called Slaughtered Like Lambs for Barbecue, Muslim Persecution of Christians, September 2021. And this was originally written by him for Gatestone Institute, another good organization. Now, I'm just going to start with his piece on Afghanistan, so please listen. He writes, Muslims linked to the Islamic State murdered four Christians while trying to escape the country. A Christian family was intercepted by the jihadists. According to a local source, ISIS asked them, we have a tape about you that you are no longer Muslim. So is it true that you're not Muslim? They said, yes, we are not Muslim anymore. We are Christians. So the men of this family were killed immediately. The children and the women, they let them go. Also, in keeping with what several international human rights groups are warning, former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo wrote an article in which he expressed his concern that a genocide of Christians is brewing in Afghanistan. He said, quote, the humanitarian crisis that is developing as the Taliban returns to power is likely to become a genocide against Christians if the Biden administration does not act. The Taliban's persecution of Afghan Christians is now only just beginning. There are at least as many Christians in Afghanistan today as there are stranded Americans. Given that many of them are Muslim converts, a crime punishable by death under the dictates of Sharia, which the Taliban has openly embraced, the possibility of there being a genocide against Christians in the wake of this withdrawal is extremely high. Already the Taliban is compiling lists of known Christians and their communities. They are going door to door searching Afghan homes for Bibles, even searching smartphones for Bible apps. Afghan Christians are being forced to flee the country, and it should be a priority of the United States government to do what it can to get them out of harm's way. Unfortunately, if the Biden administration cannot even manage to get Americans out, there is scant hope that they can be trusted to protect religious freedom as well. So let's talk about the persecution of Christians in Israel by Muslims. Well, a Muslim man murdered his own mommy. She converted to Christianity, and this is a September 27th report that Raymond Ibrahim reported. He shares this article. It says a 27-year-old man from northern Israel was charged on September 27th with murdering his mother and hiding her body last month after she converted from Islam to Orthodox Christianity. According to the charge sheet, Rasha Muklasha, 46, left her husband and severed ties with her five children, including the suspect, Maud Hibb, in 2006. She then moved from the town of Zarzir to Nof HaGalil and converted to Christianity. Recently, she assumed contact with her children following the death of her ex-husband. Prosecutors allege that their conversion, which greatly angered Hibb, was the motive for the murder. According to the indictment, the murder was premeditated, with Hibb setting up a meeting with his mommy on August 5th near Nazareth with the intention of killing her and disposing of her remains. After picking up Natasha in his car, he strangled the deceased with a rope or his hands alone and or with others and with the intention of causing her death, according to court documents. He buried her body along the Jordan River, where it was later discovered and led to the son's arrest. Let's look at Uganda. Is this happening here? Are Christians being targeted there? Absolutely. Muslims targeted and killed Dante Tambika, 19-year-old Christian youth and son of deceased evangelist. According to his friend Stefan, who survived the attack on August 31st, he, Dante, and two other friends were walking toward a lake where they planned to do some fishing when suddenly five Muslim teenagers started following and accosting them. They tried to provoke us by calling us infidels and saying that we're going to crush us just like Allah did to those who used to attack the Prophet Muhammad, Stephen said. The four Christians did not respond and reached the lake and boarded a boat and went fishing. 2 hours later, they returned to shore only to find some Muslims standing there with one shouting, Allah Akbar. From nowhere, we saw six other Muslims approaching our fishing boat, furious and uttering defaming words against us, continued Stefan. He says, I told my friends that we were in trouble and that each of us should prepare for self-defense. He said, I led them in prayers. The Muslims came in close, and one of them jumped into the boat and began beating Dante with a stick. He commanded us to believe in Allah or else they will kill us. Dante replied that we can't renounce Christianity, saying, if you want to kill us now. Know that we're ready. In response, more Muslims jumped in and swarmed the boat. Dante's three friends jumped into the water, swam for shore, and ran for help. When they returned with assistance, the jihadis had fled. Dante's body was later found floating in the water. He'd been beaten on the head, tied with rope, in Nigeria. Some of the more notable slaughters of Christians and destruction of their churches to occur during the month of September were, on, according to September 21 report, on one state alone, Muslim Fulani herdsmen slaughtered 50 Christians, including several women, at least two of whom were pregnant and children. They also destroyed 254 homes and attacked seven churches. Describing these massacres, Dominic Dombo Yaya, a local leader of the Christians in the affected area, said, quote, the unrestrained violence unleashed on poor, defenseless, innocent Christian farmers of ITAP land had reached a sorry state that no farmer can venture out to the farmland as the chances of returning home alive are very slim. We are under siege of terror attacks from herdsmen as the Muslim Fulani community that lives with the ITAP Christians have been seizing the Christians from their farms to kill them. We allowed the Fulani Muslims who were migrants to settle among us and our lands for free. Now Christians who welcomed and accommodated them have become targets of their attacks. On September 26, Muslims butchered 44 Christians in coordinated attacks on three Christian communities in Kaduna State. Many of those killed were women and children, slaughtered like rams to be used for barbecue, to quote one witness. During these jihads, a Christian church was also invaded. In it, one worshiper was killed and several wounded. Pastor Matthew Ataya of that church described what happened. He said, quote, the kidnappers stormed the church while I was conducting the call to worship, and they were shooting sporadically. They disrupted the service and I escaped from the church by running. One of the abductors chased me and ordered me to stop, but I refused to stop. I kept falling while running, but I did not stop running. I returned to the church, and after I realized that no one was chasing me. Upon my return to the church, I noticed that people were weeping. I entered the church to see the corpse of Mr. Ruben Lebenga, while another worshiper was lying in a pool of blood. Eventually joined others who were crying. Every member of the children's department escaped except my daughter, who went about crying and searching for her until we found her hiding in the toilet. September 11th, Muslims hacked to death another Christian pastor, the Reverend Silas Yakuba of the Evangelical Church of Winning All. September 19th, a Muslim gunman invaded a church, murdered one person, injured three, and kidnapped two. Are you seeing any commonality here, people? Are you hearing this over and over again? This is sick. It is sad. And it's one of the reasons why the people in the Global Patriot Radio Network are working to expose the evils of Islam, like myself. And if you have any questions as to why we do what we do, please understand, this is only the tip of the iceberg. Because they're not just killing Christians. The majority of the people they kill, believe it or not, are Muslim. They can't even feel safe from their own fellow believers. Because under Islam, you are encouraged to hate all that is not Islamic. Now, one of the hardest things I've ever had to write was in the last book. I had to write a chapter. I felt it was needed on hate. Is there an Islamic social norm that teaches hate? Well,
I think maybe the next show I will read that again. It's one of the hardest things I say I've ever had to write. When you grow up in a family that loves you and treats you with great love, and when you grow up understanding love, some of these things are just you just can't accept them. At least I can't. Again, some of these things are hard. I want to go back to that story, to what some of these, again, persecution of Christians. Let's talk about what happened in Indonesia in September. After Muhammad Case, formerly a Muslim cleric who converted to Christianity in 2014, was detained for allegedly insulting the Muslim prophet Muhammad. Okay, is it alleged that, again, their Muslim prophet, Muhammad, on YouTube, police and fellow prisoners vilely tortured him, including smearing feces all over his face. A high-ranking police official, whose name is given as Napoleon Bonaparte, confessed to the incident. According to an official, Bonaparte and several other perpetrators admitted that they beat Case. They covered his face with human feces during the hearing. The unrepentant Bonaparte said, anyone can insult me, but not against his Allah, the Quran, his prophet, or his Islamic faith. Well, therefore, I swear I'll take any measure against anyone who dares to do so. Again, blasphemy. That's what they consider blasphemy, and they don't see anything wrong with it. According to the Indonesian Bishops Advocacy and Human Rights Forum, the torture is a new case which should be looked at separately from the blasphemy case that Case faced. Blasphemy case that he was accused of can't justify his torture. Well, under Sharia, it can. While the Christians might not understand that, if they understand that they're running on Islamic law, follow the Islamic law, and it does justify it. So, yeah. These things are horrible. They happen. Are the bishops foolish to think otherwise? Yes. Do you want them to grow up and start to see reality as it is? Yes. But I don't know where they find the need to not share the entire truth on matters like this. Let's look at Egypt. Patrick George Sakai, a 30-year-old Christian graduate student and activist, remains behind bars under false charges, according to a September 28th report. A human rights activist who wrote about his experience as a Coptic Christian in Egypt has gone on trial on the charge of spreading false news. Patrick George Sakai is a researcher on gender issues for Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights. He was arrested in February 2020 at Cairo Airport upon his return from Italy, where he had been studying. He denies the charge, and local rights groups say he is being prosecuted simply for expressing his opinion. Patrick has been studying for a master's degree in Italy when he decided to return to Egypt for a brief visit. On landing in Cairo's international airport, authorities detained him, and he was held incommunicado for 24 hours. During this time, he was subjected to torture, including the electric shocks, while being questioned about his activism. He was eventually indicted on the charge of spreading false news inside and outside of the country, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison in Egypt. Due to an opinion piece he published on Daraj News website in July of 2019, titled Displacement, Killing, and Restriction, A Week's Diaries of Egypt's Cops. In it, he described the experiences as a Coptic Egyptian and his views on current events affecting the religious minority. He pled not guilty to the charges on September 14th when his trial was once again adjourned. Days earlier, 10 human rights organizations in Egypt issued a joint statement saying that he was being detained without legal justification. Now, think about that. Talk about the importance of due process. Now, I personally love that we have a constitution that guarantees it. I love that we have constitutional rights. Again, according to the Constitution, those rights were given by God. That's what the Constitution states. Here's another incident in Egypt. A 17-year-old Christian girl was arrested by police as she was leaving a Cairo-based church. According to September 3rd, her current status and health condition remained unknown. The young woman is a Christian convert from Islam, something which she had successfully kept secret from her family for a number of years, with only an atheist relative knowing. He advised her to leave Egypt for her own safety. She successfully applied to a university in Texas and was awarded the presidential scholarship with $22,000 per year, along with a smaller scholarship. She was working through the American Embassy in Cairo to plan her travel. Although the reason for her arrest is unclear, continues the report, it may be that her family discovered her plan to leave the country and her conversion to Christianity and called the police. She would be arrested if you're a believer in Egypt. This is happening in one of the countries that was highly known for its Christianity not so long ago. But in today's world, it is mostly Muslim, and they follow those rules. You have to sit there and go, wow. Let's talk about Sweden. Anas Kaf Khalifa, for 20 years, was one of the most influential Salafist preachers in the nation. Yeah, we're talking about Sweden. He now calls Salafist Islam, fundamentalist Islam, a cancer and a worldview that is spreading rapidly among young people. According to the September 22nd report, Anas also said that the Salafists spread hatred against Christians and Jews, strong prejudices about other groups. Their basic message is hatred. Oh, what happened? This man became a Christian? Yeah. Pakistan, September 5th, during an afternoon church service, a group of Muslims attacked and opened fire on the New Hope Church in Lahore. Afterwards, they opened fire on nearby Christian homes. Several Christians were wounded, including pregnant women, some with life-threatening injuries. In the days before the latest attack, Christians, especially women, were the victims of harassment, according to the report. Families going to church were mocked and insulted with offensive language. Quote, I was cleaning a room when suddenly I heard shots coming in the streets. One of the women in a nearby Christian house shared her experience. She fainted after for a while. After regaining consciousness, she said she remembered her 3-year-old son was playing in the courtyard. She ran out to him while she was rescuing her son. A stone broke a window and a piece of glass injured her hand. The attackers had military-style weapons and fired directly at the house. They wounded several people, including New Hope Church pastor. Discussing the incident, the Secretary General of Pakistan Minority Rights Commission said that in the last 3 years, incidents and abuses against minorities have increased by 40%. Yes, they're being protected is the other part of that. That's why. Let's look at the United States. Is there persecution of Christianity by Muslims? Well, here's a case. A Muslim refugee from Syria who plotted but failed to bomb a Christian church in Pittsburgh changed his plea to guilty, according to September 16th report. Pittsburgh resident Mustafa Musab Al-Umar, 23, entered the plea, a guilty plea to attempting to provide material support and resources to Islamic State group, a militant extremist organization. Now, I talked about this a few weeks ago. Yeah, and what was his goal? He had joined churches, vandalizing them. And you know, some of these things, you just sit here, why? I mean, how can we be silent? Now, it's time, people. It's time to stand up and do something. What does that mean? My thoughts are, if any of these issues bother you, contact your local government. You're talking about the politics, a critical race theory in your schools. Contact your school board. Ask to say something. Again, do research, find out, and then blow them away with the research you've done. Ask questions. Form groups and go with others. When you're presenting in front of a government body, you're sometimes only limited to 2 minutes. We'll arrange with the number of speakers. You've got 10 speakers. You each get 2 minutes. You just continue a speech. That's quite a way to speak when you think about it. Each of you gets 2 minutes. You could get, if you've got 10 speakers there, you've got a 20-minute speech. Think about it, people. If you can get out and express your views, please do. This is no longer the world where you can remain silent. You must share what is true. Too many people out there telling lies. And I want to say thank you for listening. God bless you all. And I'm just going to sign off. Thank you very much. And if you are here with BTR, and make sure I'm off of live stream before I play our goodbye song, because we'll talk about this just a second. Now I've got to talk to my people who provide my service for my show, for my outages. And I pay a good amount of money, and I'm tired of this. So that's my big argument this week. I think that's part of why I'm having difficulty, and I'm going to be raising a stink. So let me get up our goodbye song. Just going to play Ain't That America.
And he looks at her and says, hey, darling, I can remember when